1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 6, what we hear now is God's Word. Yet, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we saw last week that Paul, in addressing the Corinthian church, used this phrase, the foolishness of God. And we saw how there were three things that Paul talked about in connection with God's foolishness. There was the message that was brought. The message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We read in verse 22 of chapter 1, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles." The message of the gospel is foolishness to the world. They will never understand it. Paul talked about the foolishness of the recipients. Verse 26, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise." We as recipients were foolish, unless enlightened by the Spirit of God. A foolish message to foolish people with a foolish method. "And I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." The method was a foolish method. Preaching, Paul says, in the mind of the world makes no sense. It is not the wise way to bring truth across. And we talked again about how these things were, from the worldly point of view, seen as the foolishness of God. Tonight, we get the other side of the coin. Paul is going to continue to talk about the glory of preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But now, not looking at it so much from the perspective of the world and seen as the foolishness of God, but rather seen from the perspective of the church as the wisdom of God. Paul says, verse 6, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom." among those who are mature, this is a wise thing. This is a great thing. This is a wonderful thing. The preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So tonight we get something of the rest of the story. Last week, preaching looked at, from a worldly point of view, the foolishness of God. This week, from a spiritual point of view, from the church's point of view, the wisdom of God. Paul addresses those in the church. And he says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Who are the mature that Paul is talking about? Who are the mature that receive this wisdom from God? Well, there are some that suggest that Paul is making a distinction here within the church. Those who are more mature versus those who are less mature. And certainly there are times when Paul does that, particularly in 2 Corinthians. But here, the distinction is not between those who are more mature in the church and those who are less mature in the church. When he talks about those, we speak to those among the mature, he is talking about the church as a whole. The contrast he is making is between the church and the world. That's his contrast. And not a distinction within the church, but distinguishing the church from the world. Yet among the mature, that is among you God's people, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. He is saying those of you in the church should recognize that this preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified may look like foolishness to the world, but not to you. You know better. You have been enlightened. You are matured by the Spirit of God. And so it is wisdom to you to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. What is that secret wisdom? What is that hidden knowledge? Paul is not talking about some secret knowledge that gives us particular entrance into the mind of God. When he uses these words here, that secret and hidden wisdom, he is talking about God's counsel to send Jesus Christ, the one who would be crucified. It is secret, it is hidden to those who do not understand. To the world, as we saw last week, a crucified Savior makes no sense at all. And that's why he says, we impart this secret, this hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. The natural man would not understand. It would be secret. It would be hidden to him. But to those who are mature, to those who are in the church, to those who embrace Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it is a truth given for our glory. He says, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had understood that this was God's chosen means of salvation, if they had recognized Jesus Christ was God's Son, they would not have crucified Him. They would have embraced Him as their Lord. No, he says, the rulers of this age, those not mature, those who are foolish, they would crucify Him rather than embrace Him. The truth was hidden to them. It was secret to them. Paul says, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined. What no eye has seen. There were some who had seen Jesus. Many had seen Jesus. But their eyes were blinded, unopened by the Spirit of God, unable to recognize who He was. Oh, they had seen the miracles, they had seen the feedings, they had seen the healings, they had seen raising from the dead, but they refused to believe. The eye has not seen, it was darkened by the fallen nature, nor what ear has heard.
Many heard him speak. Many heard his teachings. But their hearts were darkened. They refused to listen to the things of God. They were not the mature, not those in the church. And what the heart of man has imagined, able to embrace what Christ came to do, to give his life as a sacrifice for his people, God has prepared for those who love him. These truths, hidden to the world, secret to them, to those whose minds are still darkened by the things of this world, but for God's people, for the mature, for the church, for you, a knowledge God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. We can know things about God. Oh, we can never know God exhaustively. We can never know him in his essence. But we can know things about God and what he has chosen to do and his work with his people. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. This wisdom of God, this revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, is a truth that needs to be revealed. It is not innate, natural knowledge. The fallen man does not know Jesus Christ, does not embrace him, does not love him. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit that these things might be revealed to us. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? Paul is going to use an analogy here between man knowing himself and knowing the things of God. And he says, who knows himself except man's spirit within him? Who truly knows who we are except we ourselves? Oh, there may be those around us who know some things about us, but we can put up a front. We can put up an exterior. Who truly knows what we are thinking except for we ourselves? And he says, if this is true for man, for no one knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person who is within him, so also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. There is a revelation going on. It is received truth that we are given. Not truth that is given to the natural man, but a gift to those who are given the Spirit of God. So, as Paul alluded to earlier, no pride in ourselves. No pride that we have this great knowledge, that we are the mature, we are the church. No, what we have is a gift given to us, revealed to us by God himself. Left to ourselves, we would never understand. God has gifted his people with the Holy Spirit. God has given the Spirit to the church to reveal himself to the church. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand things freely given us by God. Not that we were so smart, that we figured it out, that we deduced the answer. These things freely given us by God through the Spirit. And he says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And maybe some of you have a footnote in your Bible that says, interpreting spiritual truths in spiritual language. And that's a very good footnote. In fact, that's a better reading. Interpreting spiritual truths in spiritual language. We recognize as a church that God reveals himself to us
through His Word. Spiritual truth in spiritual language. If we want to know God and know what He is doing in His Son, Jesus Christ, we do not have to meditate and contemplate our own self. But God is a God of revelation. And He has given us His Spirit to reveal Himself to us. Spiritual truths in spiritual language. And Paul here again picking up on that truth that the preaching of the Word is that spiritual language. Last time calling it the foolishness, this time calling it wisdom. Spiritual truth given in spiritual words. The message and the method. That method used by the Holy Spirit. And you say, why are we back on the topic of preaching again? Well, Paul obviously thought it was important for the Corinthian church to be reminded about the primacy and the importance of the preaching of the Word. And it is no less true for us today. Preaching, as I mentioned last week, continues to come under attack today. But preaching is the Holy Spirit's tool. It is what He chooses to use to bring spiritual truth to us. Spiritual truth spoken in spiritual language. The declaration of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it's important that we recognize that because we have to keep preaching as that center of our worship service. That's why, kids, it's wonderful to sing songs. It's wonderful to pray prayers. It's wonderful to give gifts. But the center of the service is still the preaching of the Word. Spiritual truth in spiritual language, that God might continue by His Spirit to instruct us. And that's why it's important for all of us to attend to the public preaching of the Word. That's why it is important for us as families to come together for worship. Children, we don't send you away. We don't send you to a different place when these spiritual truths in spiritual language are being revealed by the Spirit. No, we want you here. It's important, children, that you learn the truths of Scripture. It's important that we as parents pass these on to our children. They will not learn them naturally. It is our responsibility to pass on these spiritual truths to them. We do that by taking them to worship, where they are with the people of God, as a part of the people of God, where God's Spirit is active. We do that in our homes, in teaching them the spiritual truths in the spiritual words of Scripture, singing songs from the Bible and about the Bible. One of my favorite songs, kids, is the B-I-B-L-E. I bet some of you know that. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That spiritual truth given to us through the spiritual language of Scripture. One of my other favorite songs is Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust what? Trust the Word of God. That spiritual truth in spiritual words. And we need, as parents, to pass these spiritual truths on to our kids. Teaching them to sing the songs of the church. Teaching them to sing the songs of Zion. And taking God's Word and helping them to hide it in their hearts. Memorizing the Word of God with them. We sometimes think that memory work is only for children. But as the men's Bible study is finding out, memory work is for all of us to continue in our walk with the Lord. It's a good time to memorize Scripture when your children are young. They help us. Because children seem to pick up the Word of God so quickly and so easily. But our children help us to get deeper into that word, to hide that word in our hearts. Taking these spiritual truths in these spiritual words given to us by God Himself and internalizing them and making them a part of who we are. That is what is revealed by the Spirit to the mature. We impart this truth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths in spiritual words, that the man of God may be built up and fully equipped for every good work. This is the call to recognize the wisdom of God, His truth given to us in this way. And Paul finishes this section here, but with one more contrast. The contrast between the natural man and the contrast between the spiritual man. It says in verse 14, "The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him." The natural man does not recognize this spiritual truth. He does not hear these spiritual words. And left to himself, the natural man not only does not do this, but he goes on and he says, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man will never get the Word of God unless the Spirit is active. And that must be our prayer. That not only as we come to worship, but as we bring friends to worship who may not be believers, that the Spirit of God be at work. Not we hope that, first of all, the church is friendly to them that Sunday, or that we sing songs that are easy to sing, but first of all, that God's Spirit be active through the preaching of the Word. That is what changes hearts. That is what changes lives. The natural man, left to himself, does not accept the things of the Spirit. He is unable to understand them, for they are spiritually discerned. We need to remember this. The natural man will never understand the things of the Spirit. The natural man will never understand the things of the church and that believers do. To the natural man, it makes no sense at all that on a Sunday, a day off from work, a day to relax with your family. To the natural man, it makes no sense at all that you would give up that time to come and to worship God. Not only once, but twice on the Lord's Day. You'd come out again in the night. The natural man will never understand that. The natural man will never understand that in difficult economic times, when we are having a hard time making ends meet, that we still make a commitment to give as God has blessed us to the church. The natural man will never get that. These things are spiritually discerned. The natural man does not understand the things of God. You know, as our children grow up, we certainly pray that they marry in the Lord. There are times when they grow up and they choose to marry an unbeliever. And I have seen that being the case. And then the believer and the unbeliever in this disobedient marriage try to find a church that they can agree on. And they can go to church after church after church. But the unbeliever will never be comfortable among the people of God. The unbeliever does not appreciate these things. He cannot appreciate these things until God's Spirit's at work. No, the unbeliever doesn't understand what God is doing with and for His people. They are folly to Him because they are spiritually discerned. But for the spiritual, verse 15, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. The spiritual man, the one who has been given the Spirit, has discernment to judge all things against what standard? To judge them against the standard of the Word of God. This spiritual language, spiritual things in spiritual language. The spiritual person can can judge in his own life whether he is conforming to God's word, because that word is a holy standard for him. He is called in every part of his life or her life to commit themselves to following after the spiritual ways. That in their marriages they do conform to God's standard. That they do submit themselves to Christ first of all, but a wife to her husband secondly. That a husband recognize Christ's rule over him, but also his loving rule over his wife. That parents recognize their obligation to raise their children in the fear of the Lord. The spiritual man judges all these things, for they've been revealed to him by the Word of God as a blessing to him, to teach him how to live, how to go forward, how to have a good life, a blessed life, a life that brings glory to God. The spiritual person judges all things. He himself is not judged by anyone. He recognizes God's authority, God's rule over every part of his life. Our marriages, our relationship with our children, our education, submitting that for God's glory. Our work, that we do our work not simply because the boss has called us to work once again, but we do our work as unto the Lord. We're able to judge, able to discern that it's proper to work for our employers in a good and positive way because God has revealed that to us. Spiritual truth and spiritual words. The spiritual person judges all these things, and they are a blessing for him. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And how does Paul finish? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We recognize what he has done. Those who are mature, those who are spiritual, recognize his offering of himself for us, that we could have life. We have the mind of Christ. Don't be surprised when the world doesn't understand us. They have the mind of the devil. But for the church, for those who have received that gift of the Holy Spirit, we have received and we now live in a way that brings honor and glory to God. That's the blessing. God has not left us in the dark. But he's chosen to reveal himself to us by his Spirit to instruct us day after day after day to walk in the path of righteousness. Oh, yes. The things of the Word of God, spiritual truths, foolishness of the world. But to you, to the mature, to the spiritual, these are the very things of life that we might live, that we might act in a way that brings glory to God and allows us to walk in the path of peace. May God give us his continued spirit, that we not grow weary in spiritual things, but that we persevere for his honor and glory. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise you for being a God who has chosen to reveal yourself. And reveal yourself most beautifully in your word. We know, O God, that left to ourselves, we would not understand these things because they are spiritually discerned. And so we thank you that you have given us your spirit. You have enlightened our minds. In your light, we do see light. You've imparted words not taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit. Lord God, may we continue to walk in the light of your word. May we be those who properly use your word to judge the matters around us, that our homes, that our work, that our recreation, that everything we have and are be done in a way that is obedient, in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Strengthen us by your Spirit for continued service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.